In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, it's a privilege to be able to be together. This morning we pray your blessings from God will just envelop you today. You'll have an awesome day. I want to spend the next few sessions together discussing the disaster of rebellion. Now, rebellion is something that I know a lot about. I grew up with a very independent spirit. That independent spirit got me in trouble early in my childhood. I got kicked out of fourth grade. I got kicked out of fifth grade. The principal said, "Now you can't come back to school unless you bring your parents tomorrow." I thought, well, this is great. I don't want to come back to school, so I'm not going to tell my parents anything about this. Well, the principal called that night, and I'll never forget my dad's end of the conversation was, "He what? He did what? Oh, he did. Oh, he did. Oh, my. Yes, ma'am, thank you for calling." Well, I got three spankings that day, and the next day I went back to school, but not with a broken spirit. It was just, I wanted my way. If something funny came to my mind, it came out my mouth. Whether the teacher was teaching or not, I just thought, man, this class needs to hear this. And they all laughed. And there was a box outside of our classroom. It was a huge, huge box, cardboard box. They cut a window in the side of that box. And if you couldn't stay inside the classroom because of your deportment, there was a desk in that box. And so many times I would be spending a lot of time in that box in the hallway outside of my classroom. Students would come by, and they'd look in to see who was there, and we'd trade a few jokes. And it didn't bother me to be in the box because I just had an independent spirit. Now, it's easy to call it an independent spirit when, in essence, it was a rebellious spirit. A rebellious spirit, wanting to have my own way. Have you ever heard the expression, rules without relationships lead to rebellion? I'll say it again. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. And so many times we think we're doing well, maybe as parents, but if we allow ourselves to become really shallow on our relationships with our children, especially when they become teenagers, it becomes more about making rules and not as much about continuing those strong relationships. As I got into high school, I began to date against my parents' will, and they made a rule. You can't talk to this girl. You can't spend time with her. And as a result of that, I broke a lot of relationship issues because I spent time with her every day. You see, I had a rebellious spirit. I went to a Christian college my first year of college, had a rebellious spirit, decided wasn't interested in abiding by their rules. You see, step by step, I was walking away from God. When the preacher would be preaching, I would be sleeping. Oh, I'd be going to church, but I wouldn't understand a thing he's saying because I'm asleep. The disaster of rebellion. You see, if I don't have good, strong relationships with my parents, that leads to rebellion. The same thing is true with God. If I don't have a strong relationship with God, that leads to rebellion against the Lord and against the Lord's appointed authorities in my life. It reminds me of Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. Remember, Jesus told the story. He started out by telling a story about a man who had 100 sheep and lost one of them and went to search for that sheep. And then a woman that had 10 coins and lost one of them and searched her home for that lost coin until she finally found it. And then the last story was the story of the man who had two sons. The younger one said, "Father, give me my portion of the inheritance that will come my way when you die, because I want it now. I want to live my life. I want to leave home. I want to spend your money any way I want to. I want to be totally away from your authority." And the father sold all of his goods, interestingly enough. So at the end of that day, he had nothing. Everything either went to the younger son or to the elder son. Well, the son took his journey, and the Bible says that he wasted his substance on riotous living. Well, when he had spent it all, interestingly enough, a famine came to the land. Wonder who sent that famine. You with me? You see, we can run from God, but we can never run away. God is always there. You know the story. He finally had to go find a job. The only kind of job he could find is taking care of swine, which was totally against the Jewish laws. To have anything to do with pigs, they were unclean animals. Finally realized that he couldn't even get enough to eat in doing that. And so he came to himself in verse 17, and he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I'm dying here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.'" Now, Jesus told the story, giving the folks the idea that the father was a picture of God the Father, and the prodigal son was a picture of us, trying to have our own way, demanding our own rights, rebelling against the God-given authorities that we have. And, of course, the beautiful story is, when he came back, the father, seeing his son afar off, ran to meet him. Now, back in the day, men did not ever run. They didn't run. And secondly, he may have run to meet his son because it would have been very normal for the neighbors to have stoned the boy as they saw him on the road because of his disrespect to his father in the past months. He may have run to cover and protect him. We don't know. But what a beautiful sign of reunion, renewing the fellowship. But of course, the last part of the story was about the elder son, the older brother, who had rebelled in his heart against his dad, had his own friends, and got angry because the father had killed the fatted calf for the younger son, but didn't seem to show any interest in doing something special for the older brother, and left the end of the story without a resolution to that. The disaster of rebellion. You know, it's frustrating to work with people or live with people who have a rebellious spirit. But rebellious young people are headed for a life of disaster themselves if they don't change and make decisions and new directions. I talked to somebody the other day that was talking about a person, a relative, and this dad was saying, "My son has made some very foolish decisions, even as an adult, has made some very foolish decisions." Well, that comes from a rebellious spirit. You see, when we become rebellious, we basically are renouncing authority. You've seen it in bumper stickers that say, "Question authority." It's as old as the Garden of Eden, when Eve said, "So what?" The serpent said to her, "Hath God said that, really?" And she rebelled against God's authority. Now, it's sad to say that sometimes our teens have learned this from us. because maybe they've listened to our comments about our authorities at work or our pastor or youth pastor, or even listened to moms rebelling against the authority of the dads in the home. And so sad to say, they may have learned some of it from us. See, there are two types of rebellion in Luke chapter 15. First of all, there was inward rebellion. That was the elder brother. You remember when he came back, we saw in verses 25 and 26, he wasn't even on speaking terms with his father. He refused to rejoice in what gladdened his father's heart, found out that they were having a big party, big banquet, and he refused to go in. When you have inner rebellion against the Lord, it's the same thing. You're not on speaking terms with your heavenly Father. And the things that make God happy don't affect you at all. In fact, verse 28 talks about the elder brother being isolated from his father. So the father had to come out and find him. He's out there pouting and boiling in anger. Is that the kind of rebellious spirit you have toward the Lord? He even seemed to have different friends than his father. There was no fellowship there. Interestingly enough, in verse 30, he said, "This thy son." He couldn't even call him his brother. Now, he knew where his brother had been, but he refused to go out and seek him and beg him to come home. Actually, he was happier when his brother was out in sin. Isn't that a shame? The inward rebellion. Wow. Now, the end of the lost sheep story, there was rejoicing friends. The end of the lost coin story, there were rejoicing friends. But the end of the lost son story, there was a bitter brother. A bitter brother. Because of inward bitterness. Now, it could be that you've got the inward bitterness. Maybe nobody knows it. Maybe it's just a heart attitude of hardness and coldness. Don't expect it to go away, because it won't. It will fester, and it will boil, and it will burst. Inward rebellion. The outward rebellion is obviously easier to see. That's what the prodigal son had. He wanted his father's gifts, but not his father's presence. I'm afraid that sometimes we in America are like that. We want the father's blessings, but not necessarily his presence. And when we lose the blessings, when we lose the economic welfare, or when we lose the goodness of our society, we get frustrated. But God wants us to be drawn more and more into his presence during times like that. Now, verse 13, the Bible says that he gathered all. Because, you see, he had no intention of ever returning. No intention of ever returning. And he thought that he had left his father's God, but he discovered that God could send a famine in the far country. You know, just like God can send a pandemic to our country. You see, I believe God is calling us as a country to repentance. Let that sink in. Let God speak to our hearts. We'll continue this study in a couple of days. Until then, may the Lord bless you. In a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.